12 days.
All English sources.
That's not 15. We have to go double the all English sources.
Nah. It doesn't work out that way. Very exciting, exciting stuff this evening. Something I work 365 days a year on, and I got the most exciting phone call before coming here, out of the blue. Too bad. There's a lot of exciting shiurim in town tonight. There really is. All exciting. Yeah, Rabbi Kessin, and there's downstairs here something.
Is that the one at the lathe?
I don't even know. There's four very exciting. All of them are really headline grabbers. Yeah, but it's the quality, not the quantity. Yeah, tonight it's competition. But as long as everyone's learning Torah and everyone's in shiurim, exactly, nothing else matters. Okay, so I got this phone call minutes before coming here, about 8:20, I got this phone call from a Bar-Ilan student who's doing a PhD on modern day cities in the state of Israel that should keep 2 days based on biblical precedents, archaeological precedents, ancient precedents. So boy was I in heaven, and he was in heaven because he didn't touch Beit Shemesh yet. He dealt with Beit El, he dealt with Lod, he hasn't dealt with Beit Shemesh yet. Someone gave him my number. We have to cut it short because I have to come here. But I'm going to, you know, mail him everything tomorrow and all the sources, and it's exciting stuff. Yeah, what you have in front of you is a 2-page summary of my 10-page paper. Okay, I have a 10-page paper, which is larger than last year. If anyone has last year's paper, it grew with more of Mari McComas as well, which I can send anyone by email with pleasure. Make no mistake, as I say in every year, I don't have any agenda. I'm not in a popularity contest. We're talking about a Chumrah here, not Nikar Din, possibly. But again, people keep 2 days, don't keep 2 days. It's not a popularity contest. Isha Yasha Beina Praseh, like I've mentioned many times, the greatest Geshmak is coming to your own conclusions after going through the sources. I've gone to my own conclusion. There are a growing number of rabbis locally who agree with me, mostly silently. Agree with me in terms, when I say agree with me, not that they do 2 days. There's a growing number of rabbis that agree with me that it's a worthwhile thing to do. That's not a chumrah, a hevel, a havalim, but it's
to do two days.
So that number is growing. It really is growing. Again, not necessarily that they say you should do 2 days, but they're saying that this is not a chumrah for nothing. There's a strong basis to it. Okay, so as a basic introduction, Purim is to be observed on the 14th of Adar in most of the world, but Mordechai and Esther established that any city like Shushan that had a wall around it should keep Purim on the 15th. So along come Chazal and say, it's not right to focus our attention on a Persian city, that a city like Shushan should keep on the 15th. So Chachamim said, Megillah Daf Beis Amud Beis, we're going to make any city that had a wall around it, Mimot Yeshua Bin Nun, they too will keep a second day Purim. Not second day, they will keep Purim on the 15th. Okay, so that's basic history, that Chachamim felt we have to give honor to Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael lay in ruins, it was desolate, not nice for the Jewish people to focus on a Persian city. Very similar, in Sfat, there was the earthquakes in Sfat, and the Chatam Sofer and others commented that the reason there was an earthquake in Sfat is because people are focusing on Sfat as a place of pilgrimage more than Yerushalayim. I said, that's why the earthquake struck Sfat. The words of the Chasam Sofer and others. So the Chachamim didn't want us focusing on a Persian city, wanted us focusing on Eretz Yisrael, and so too, we have to remember that no matter what it might be, Tzfat or Uman or whatever it might be, our focus is Yerushalayim, focus of pilgrimage. Okay? So that's why we have 2 days Purim in cities that were walled in the days of Shua and Bin Nun in order to bring Kavod to Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Point number one. According to archaeological and biblical sources, and Talmudic sources and biblical sources, that's three, the city of Beit Shemesh had a wall around it in the days of Shua Bin Nun. Okay, ask questions anytime. There's legitimate questions that are going to evolve throughout the papers, the points. But Beit Shemesh had a wall around it in the days of Yeshua Bin Nun. Yeah.
How many cities were there?
Many, many cities. In Minhagei Eretz Yisrael?
Like a dozen?
I think the Lushan is most cities.
That was the normal there.
It was normal derech the Minahagi Eretz Yisrael, right, Rabbi Gallus, brings the ancient custom in Eretz Yisrael is to keep 2 days in any city that had the same name as its biblical counterpart. That's a ton of cities. From Golan down to, I don't know, what, Tzion Gavra maybe? It was the majority of places kept 2 days, and we'll get to that.
It's only on the 15th.
Oh, okay. Okay, so why do we keep saying 2 days? Because there is a suffix everywhere. The reality is everything is a suffix. The only Vandai is Yerushalayim and Shushan, right? But that's ultimately.
Because we can't trust the
Galileans? That is an amazing point. Okay, the Chazon Ish has a lot on this. Rabbi Howard Jachter has several pieces online about halacha and archaeology. Fascinating stuff. And it's about Chalukas HaPosukim. To what extent do we rely on archaeology? Right? I mean, we'll give you one example. It's been in the papers recently. Is the Surah of the Menorah. The Menorah of the Beit HaMikdash. The Chabad say was a triangular. And most of the world say it was like we know, the archical. And archaeologically, basis is that it was like this. Because all the coins that they found, the ancient inscriptions, had a menorah that was arch-shaped. For Purim, it's a tremendous issue. To what extent to accept archaeology. And there's other halakhic issues, I forget right now offhand, but Rabbi Jachter has this all in his paper. Okay, continuing, point number one. So, Beit Shemesh did have a wall around it. Why am I saying it had a wall around it? Because we have a tradition that any city that is mentioned in Sefer Yoshua, that Yeshua counts and demarcates as the borders of Eretz Yisrael, had a wall around it. It's Yeshua chapter 5, chapter 10, and chapter 15, and something in chapter 19 as well. That where Yeshua, don't have it on these notes, whatever Yeshua, any city Yeshua counted as part of the demarcation of Eretz Yisrael, had a wall around it. That's a biblical source. Talmudic source is a Gemara, Yushalmi, Megillah, the Bet, Amud Bet, says very clearly that Beit Shemesh had a wall around it. Beit Shemesh, of all the cities in Sefer Yoshua, the Gemara Yushalmi brings Beit Shemesh specifically as an example of the walled cities in Sefer Yoshua that were walled. Beit Shemesh, Eshta'o, Zor'ah, right? Sounds familiar. Tuba, Kisalon, Adulam, right? It's a neighborhood. They're all mentioned in Sefer Yoshua as walled cities. And we'll get later on to my other component of this, is that not only do I believe that we should keep 2 days because of Beit Shemesh, but also because of Yarmut. And we'll get to that later on, but we are built on top of the ancient city of Yarmut, which was also walled, according to biblical sources. Okay, we'll get to that shortly. Now, who am I? So, you know, who am I? There's bigger people than me who wrote about this. So there's two great halachic authorities that wrote about the halachic status of Beit Shemesh already. One of them is my friend and mentor, Rabbi David Spector. And the other one is a fellow by the name of Rabbi Elazar Cheshin, as you have over there in point number three. Rabbi Spector, in his book on Beit Shemesh, has a component in the back, a small Shaila Tshuva, what should we do for Beit Shemesh? And he comes to a rather quick conclusion in about 2 pages, that we should keep only Yudalit and Beit Shemesh. He brings a couple of sources, and he, you know, to his opinion, why they shouldn't be observed. And he says they shouldn't be observed, and we only keep on Yudalit, okay? Now, of course, Rabbi Spector I'm very close with, and not for publication, but Rabbi Spector's opinion might be changing a little bit. But what he has printed in his book is that you only keep on Yudalit. Now, there's another fellow, Rabbi Elazar Cheshin. If you go into the Otzer HaChachma program, it's at, you know, the 50,000 Sfarim online, you type in Purim, comma, Beit Shemesh, you're going to get an article, a mimer, from a Rabbi Elazar Cheshin. And in that mimer, remember the name of the mimer is Purim Barim HaChadashot HaCharediyot. That is the name of the mimer. And he goes through modern-day cities where Haredi Jews live, what should be the name of Purim? And there, he comes to the conclusion that Beit Shemesh should only observe Tesvav. Only place you'll ever see it in writing is in this Rabbi Cheshin's article, only Tesvav, only. He said you're living on top of a place of a wall, there's no suffix. There's no Yudalit, it's like Yerushalayim. And he goes to extreme like that. The article is dated for about 7 or 8 years ago, if I remember correctly.
He's around.
Oh, so he's here around, that's a good thing. So, no, listen to this. So I took the phone book, Yerushalayim and Beit Shemesh, and I called every Elazar Cheshin in Yerushalayim and Beit Shemesh phone book, and they all denied writing the article. So it could be I didn't get the right guy, or the guy was very humble. No, but I called up and said, are you Rabbi Cheshin who wrote the article? I was really excited to finally get a guy on the phone who picked up the phone, you know? But no, they all denied writing the article. Every Elazar Cheshin, about 2 in Beit Shemesh, about 3 in Yerushalayim, they denied it, or they're humble, or I really didn't get the right guy. But he says only Tesvav. Get this. He says Beitar Elite. Only Tesvav. Only Tesvav. Tomufanira to Beit Lechem. That's what he writes. Beitar Elite is only Tesvav because Tomufanira to Beit Lechem. And Kiryat Sefer because Tomufanira to Lod. Those are his two big chidushim in that paper.
So what does Beitar do for that?
Beitar only does Yudal, to my knowledge.
Only Yudal.
His paper was rejected. In Kiryat Sefer, I heard there's a small group that does Tesvav, but it was rejected loudly.
All the birds smell, except for Shemai.
That do 2 days?
That
they're planting.
It's never unusual. Is it like in the
No. Tzfat has full minyanim of all the chugim of Torah Jewry do 2 days in Tzfat.
Tveria.
Tons do 2 days in Tveria. Chevron, many do 2 days in Chevron. We're going to get to Haifa. I have it here. It's interesting. Dadar, there's no shortage. Akros, there's some do 2 days.
Does anyone live near Yericho?
I don't know. I didn't look into that. Mitzpe Yericho, because there's something near Yericho? I don't know. But there is Vered Yericho, but that's a Chiloni Yeshuv. Mitzpe Yericho. There's something else Yericho that's a Frum Yeshuv.
Actually, a lot of people do.
A lot of people do. You're weird if you don't. Yeah. Amongst
they do both days.
Both days. Right? The only place on the planet you make a brach on Megillah second day is Yerushalayim. That's the holidays. Okay? Because everything is an element of Suffolk. Element of Suffolk, brach al-Sveika, brach al-Hakim. Okay. So Rabbi Spector is Yudalad only, as Rabbi Cheshin is Tesvav only. Now this article, very interesting, is in, I said it's in Otzar Chachma, it's from the Otzar Torah Journal. I think I said it right. I think it's Otzar Torah. You'll get it easily if I'm wrong. But anyways, it's interesting to know. It's an Eda Charedit affiliated journal. Very interesting. Okay. So talking about this first day, second day. So even according to those who keep second day in all the places we mentioned, it's Suffolk. There's no brach on the Megillah. And you don't have to take Adel Yada for extremes. But Poskim writes, in any city doing a second day L'chumra, you don't have to do Adel Yada again. Basic kriya, no bracha, night and day. Basic suuda, give your basic matanos avyonim, and one mishloach manos to be yotze. It's toned down. In all the arim hasfeikot, it's toned down. Okay? The Mishnah Berurah says if you're doing a suffik, you should say alanisim and benching and shmoneh esrei. Okay, when you're observing a second day at a suffik, you still add alanisim. Some achloikas in that, but it seems to be pretty normative in all the sfeikot cities to add alanisim in all the davenings.
Bishop Brook talks about this issue?
I'm sorry?
Bishop
brings down the alanisim issue, yeah.
But he discusses in a case of Suffolk.
In case of Suffolk, yeah. He doesn't mention any of the cities, but yeah. They keep things second day. He mentions it. Okay. Okay. So, point number four. So Shulchan Aruch says very clearly, any city that had a wall, or any city that might have had a wall, has to keep a second day Purim. That's Shulchan Aruch. Okay? So the Chazon Ish has a lot on this. And he also strongly states that any city which may have had a wall in the days of Yeshua Ben Nun must observe a second day in Suffolk. And in fact, the Chazon Ish, who lived in Bnei Brak, kept 2 days Purim. Why did he keep 2 days Purim? Get this. Somach v'nira to Yafo. But the bigger chiddush is not that Somach v'nira to Yafo, but Yafo itself was a Suffolk. So he's taking us klisheni, Somach v'nira, a bit of a stretch, and furthermore, it's only a Suffolk. But Afal Pekin, Chazon Ish held in Bnei Brak to keep 2 days.
When you can see it from the ground, to see the ground.
The Nira issue, I don't know. I don't know the poskim achronim or what it is. But the Somach is any continual residential area ad Ein Sof. There was plans last year they were talking about, it was in the papers, that there's going to be 1 day continuity from Yerushalayim through Beitar through all the Yeshuvim to Ramat Beit Shemesh. And someone mentioned, unrelated to Beit Shemesh, by the way, unrelated to my thesis, but 1 day, if the plan comes true, as the Misrad HaBinui VaShikun, as it on paper, we will all be keeping Tesvav. Ad Kedei Kach, the amount of continuity they want. So that's the sum of the Nira, I'm not sure. I didn't go into too much depth into what the post-Kim Akronim are on. If there's an unbroken chain of residential continuity, you have a Zin Somuch. So Mevaseret is a Suffolk. Okay, Telstone is Vadai only Yudalid. Mevaseret is a Suffolk. And some Chugim keep 2 days in as a Suffolk also in Mevaseret. Somuch and Nira. But there's a Suffolk there. There's a valley there.
Somuch and Nira or Somuch or Nira?
Or. You need or. Right, but both for some reason in Mevaseret is a Suffolk. There are plenty of Frum Jews that do not do 2 days in Mevaseret, and there are a number that do. So it is a Suffolk. Okay, then we'll get to the famous Ramot Shaila and Harnov Shaila. I think down the road here we're going to get to what the status of those are. But similar to Mevaseret, because you have a whole valley between Mevaseret and Yerushalayim. But it is pretty clear. I mean, I've been to the Har El Mom of Mevaseret, and you can see well into the city of Yerushalayim from Mevaseret. So the Nira, I mean, it seems to be clearly there, but no one holds there's a chiyuv to keep 2 days in Mevaseret.
So the Nira needs
built city. But it clearly doesn't. For the Nira? For the Nira, you're saying. Oh, for the Nira, you're saying. Maybe. Maybe.
You can see Yerushalayim, yeah.
Right. Maybe. What you're saying makes a lot of sense, because the Ma'al Adumim most only keep Yudalim. So you're saying makes a lot of sense.
You can see Yerushalayim.
Because Yerushalayim, you can't see the old city.
Right.
But there's a broken, it's not continuity, residential continuity. Okay? Ma'al Adumim is Yudalim, by the way. Interesting.
That's a whole political issue.
They want
to connect it.
Yeah, yeah. But Barak Obama might change halacha, you're saying. Right, if we get it through or not. It's true, that's absolutely true. Okay, so the cities that are Suffolk, we have over here, Lod, Hebron, Akko, Beit Shan, Tzfat, I'm in point number 5. Modern day cities, Kiryat Yarim, that's Telstone, right, they keep 2 days out of Suffolk. But what's interesting is Tzfat, like I said, it's pretty unanimous to keep 2 days. I did ask several people in Tzfat who were all from different Chugim, and they all do 2 days. But keep in mind that it's because of Nireh, I don't think it's because of Samech, I think it's because of only Nireh to Tveria, which itself is a Suffolk. Because Tveria is a famous Gemara, because Tveria was walled on 3 sides. It was open to the water on the 4th side. Is the 4th side of water called a wall or not? This is a Machlokes, so there's a Suffolk. But interesting that in Tzfat, they keep 2 days because of a Nireh to a Suffolk.
Why is it such a Suffolk?
Chazanish, we're talking about Yafo. Maybe I'm sure the Chazon Ish, if he lived in Tzfat, would keep 2 days, guaranteed.
Right, but it's such a Suffolk, then why only so far can it keep 2 days?
Because we're going to get to it in a moment, that according to many Shitas, the Megillah has a din of Divrei Kabbalah, and Divrei Kabbalah is Ki'ilu Daraisa. That's why it's important, the 2 day issue as a whole, it's very important, because the Megillah reading, which is Divrei Kabbalah. Okay, it says that the Midas Chasidus, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach writes in great length in several of his farm, we'll get to it later on, that it's a midat chasidut to keep Purim whenever there's a doubt, including if there's a doubt of Yudalit. So according to Rabbi Moshe Sternbach and many others, there's an Indian to keep Yudalit in Ramot and Harnov, and many do, as a Suffolk. The Suffolk works both ways, there's no contradiction here, we're all consistent. But there's Suffolk Yudalit, the same postgim that would support the idea of Beit Shemesh Tesfav would also say Yudalit Yerushalayim. Okay? There's a minyan in the bus station. In the bus station, Tachanan Rekha Yerushalayim, Yudalit is a Kriya Megillah. On Yudalit in the bus station, Neged Yerushalayim. Which is much closer than the Ramot and Harnov. So I guess maybe more of an extreme group. I don't know if it has the shul in the bus station. I don't know. But, Ad Kedei Kach. Okay? Fine. So again, yes, that's very important, Akuda. Thank you for bringing that up. That it's a Divrei Kabbalah to keep Purim, which is almost a din of the Raisa. Now, I'm going to share with you opponents of my idea. I'm going to share with you some opponents. Okay, now Beit Shemesh is both Samuch and Yireh. However, why would people disagree with me? Why would people disagree with this thesis? And the answer is like this. There is a theory that says, if nobody lives in the territory of the walled city, the territory of the walled city no longer has the power to convey the principles of Samuch and Nireh. Nobody lives in Tel Beit Shemesh, therefore according to this approach, Tel Beit Shemesh does not have the power to emanate the principles of Samuch and Nireh. However, if any of us will go spend a night in Tel Beit Shemesh, the Choladeos, you would have to keep 2 days. That's not a question, maybe only. Where's Tel Beit Shemesh? It's along the 38 highway. You can't miss it. It's not very spectacular, but you can't miss it. And in fact, it's the wall, it's a bolet right on the highway, the ancient wall. Okay? So that is an important principle. And there's plenty of sources, by all means, there's plenty of sources that say that if nobody lives in the walled city area, no longer has the power to place Samuch v'Nireh. However, many Rishonim disagree with this. Okay? Many Rishonim disagree with this. The Ran, the Rajba, the Meiri, and others say that even if it lies desolate and abandoned, it still has the power to play the Samuch v'Nireh card and affect every neighborhood in its vicinity. Okay, this was also the modern day view of Rabbi Pinchas Epstein, Rabbi Isser Yehuda Unterman, Rabbi Shlomo Zevin, and others, okay, who said it doesn't matter whether people live in the walled site or not, the fact that it exists and it's there, it has the power to do some of Venire. Also the view of Tzvi Pesach Frank.
The whole takana is based on that it was
necessary. The idea of moving Shushan, of being the 15th, and extending it to other places, was to give honor to Eretz Yisrael, which lay desolate. However, there had to be people, according to this approach, there had to be people living in the areas we're sanctifying with the Tesvav powers. Okay?
For
everything. For Song of Venir, and for living in
the
like, the walls of Jericho were fallen down already. But if Jews lived in Jericho, they would still keep the second day, even though there was no wall. Because they're living in an area where there was a wall. They're living in an area where there was a wall. Okay, but according to this approach, if no one's living in Yericho, but they're living in Mitzvah Yericho, and Tel Yericho, and Yeret Yericho, and all the adjacent Yeshuvim, they would not keep 2 days according to this approach if no Jews lived in the area. It's Machloikis. If it's Jews or Arabs, it's another issue post can deal with. Does it have to be Jews living in the area of the old city walls?
Is that part of the sheet you just say now?
Yes.
Where is it? The number?
Point number six. No, so I only have it in brief on your sheet. On my sheet, I still have the full thing. Again, I'll my pleasure to email this to you tomorrow. But again, that's
this in your paper.
Yeah, yeah. But like we're saying that although there are those who say that nobody lives in the ancient site, there is no Din Samach Venira. But like I said, many people disagree. Okay, now we're going to go to Haifa as an example. This idea. That even though nobody lives in the ancient site, it still has the power to do Samach Venira, and that's Haifa. Many people in Haifa keep 2 days. Okay, believe it or not, this is the ruling of Rav Eliashiv, to keep 2 days in Haifa. That it's Samach Venira to ancient Shikmona. Tell Shikmona. Tell Shikmona lies somewhere on the beach, on the road up to Haifa. Quite, a clear, distinct distance from any residential area of Haifa, but it's a continuity of some sort, maybe it's near it. But because of Shikmona, many people keep 2 days in Haifa. Okay? And why am I bringing this Haifa example up? Because nobody lives in Shikmona. And nevertheless, we see that Rav Eliashiv seems to paskin that even if nobody lives in the area still has the power to convey the principles of Samuch Venire. Okay? Another reason people keep 2 days in Haifa, it's a bit of a stretch, but Samuch Venire to Akko. That's what they say. So I called a few rabbis in Haifa. I called a ger rav, a major ger post at Haifa that I'm very friendly with. And he says they don't keep 2 days. But he told me in the Lifesher Beis Medrash down the road, they do keep 2 days. Misafik. So in Haifa, it's a minority. But interesting that Rav Eliashiv's written psak in his Kovetz Tshuvos, Chelek Aleph, Tshuva Samachet. That's Rav Eliashiv in Kovetz Tshuvos. Okay? However, on the issue of whether there needs to be Jews living in the area of the walled city in order to convey some of Venira, there's no better example than Yerushalayim, because for 19 years he didn't have a Jew in the old city. Jordanians kicked us all out. And nevertheless, New Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, during those 19 years only kept Tesvav. So what I'm trying to show by this is that we seem to paskin against those who say you need people living in the area of the walled city in order for neighboring areas to keep Tesvav. No! That doesn't seem to be the gisha of the poskim. The gisha of the poskim seems to be that even if nobody's living, no Jews at least, are living in the area of the walled city, it doesn't matter. Jews living adjacent, because of some of the air considerations, would still keep Tesvav.
What's the place next to Haifa?
Shikmona.
I'm going to tell you that if Goyim were there,
But there's a further machloikas in the poskim, which Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and the Chazon Ish, to my understanding what they're writing, do not machria clearly. I want to say that the Chazon Ish and the Piskei Tshuvos would seem to agree with that. According to Chazon Ish, even if there's only Goyim, even if there's no Goyim, Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank is not clear. He says if there's only Goyim, yes, you still have Tesvav in adjacent neighborhoods, but to my understanding, the Tshuva in the Har Tzvi was not very clear. If you have nobody living in the area of the wall, do you still have Samuch Venira? Takasha. Okay, point number seven. So I mentioned the city of Yerushalayim, they always kept Tesvav, even when there was no Jews, no minyan in the old city of Yerushalayim. Okay, so according to this approach, even though Tel Beit Shemesh has nobody living in it, according to this approach in the post scheme, it still has the power of Samuch Venira.
There's not even non-Jews living there.
Yeah, correct. Correct. Okay.
The Shiloh would be if you would spend the night camping there.
Right. So there's no Shiloh. No Shiloh. And there's no Shiloh if there's a minion.
You wouldn't make a problem.
That's not clear.
Not clear?
According to Nora Malacha, you would not. According to Dr. Yor Elitzur, Rabbi Dr. Professor Yor Elitzur, according to this Rabbi Elazar Cheshin, you would only keep the 50. Right. Now, if there's a minion sleeping in Tel Beit Shemesh or Tel Yarmut, you can affect 75,000 Jews. Because if a minion sleeps in the site, it's zicher.
It'll become very unpopular.
According to, it'll be very unpopular very fast. But according to all opinions, you would have to keep Tesvav in the adjacent area.
That would be one illegal settlement dismantled right away.
Yeah. Sorry?
Tesvav?
Normative halach would say Yudal and Tesvav. Okay, because it's still, there's always a suffix. I guess you could
say, which one are you holding? Let's say, you say, like, tone it down, no brother.
Right. Yudal is Purim around the world. Tesvav is a Chumrah.
Even if you have a minion sleeping in television.
Yeah, it's a much stronger Chumrah. There's more Rishonim that will jump on my paper and say, yes, you have to. Virtually everyone. Okay, point number 8. Now, get this. Okay, then my thesis, take it a step further. Bon Agid, Ankin, you're crazy. We're going to follow Rishonim and say, nobody lives in the town. It doesn't have Sadat Venire. Okay? Bon Agid. New argument. The Gemara Yushalmi, Megillah, Beis Amabez, says that Beit Shemesh was one of the largest cities in biblical times. One of the largest cities. I think the Lashon, hundreds of thousands lived here. Now, we all know that the excavations of Beit Shemesh on 38 are really 100 meters by 100 meters by 100 meters. Now, Yushalmi is 10% accurate to its 100,000 who lived here. We all know that this amount of Jews did not live on the 38 in those, 100 meters between Nofei Aviv and the Bedouins, sheep over there. We know that the territory of Beit Shemesh was much larger than we have it today. There's no question. It's obvious. I don't have to prove it to you. But what was revealed in Tel Beit Shemesh is a minute component of the great city that once was. So what I'm trying to say is, it's highly likely, certainly Nofei Aviv, possibly Sheinfeld, are built directly on top of territory that was once ancient Beit Shemesh, meaning you don't need Samach Venira. Because these areas, these neighborhoods were built directly on top the territory of the biblical Beit Shemesh. Hence, it's inherently Tesvav. Inherently. There's no need to play Samach Venira games. And what I'm saying is, like, I spoke to archaeologists.
Where do you go? Where's it go? This
okay. I don't even know where. It's obvious. Whatever it is, Nofei Aviv, the last houses of Nofei Aviv are literally within spitting distance of the 38th. Literally. Okay? It's not Lo Ole Al Hadat to suggest that where you have the revelations on the that would be the west side of the 38th, you see the wall sticking out, that the ancient Tel Beit Shemesh went no further than what the archaeological society dug up right there in the 38th, and it's not possible to continue. But lo le'al adat, ancient Beit Shemesh was clearly, according to all accounts, a larger territory than the 100 meters by 100 meters that you have revealed today.
No, I'm saying, which maybe that was the edge.
Nah, but
the other way.
But because the Israeli Archaeological Society built were.
I don't know, I'm just saying, it could just as likely be on that side or this side.
Both. It was a huge territory.
Okay, but when, who knows? Maybe that was the edge.
Because the Israeli Archaeological Society revealed that part.
But is that a wall, the part that you build there?
I think that's a wall, yeah.
As we say, so there's a 50-50 chance then. If it's a wall,
it
could be the wall.
It could be the walls within walls. There are walls within walls. There are walls within walls. But you'll see.
Maybe that wall maybe happens to be the one.
Yeah,
wall,
but you're right. I guess in theory, but it's a stretch of a stretch because just because the Israeli Archaeological Society only dug up there doesn't mean there's more.
More. Yeah. More. Just wonder which way it goes.
But probably went a little bit in all directions. Don't you see?
Maybe.
Likely. Highly likely.
Okay.
No. Maybe. Anyways. What I have here in the footnotes, if anybody wants me to email the paper, I have in the footnotes links to pictures of these areas, online pictures. So you click on the thing, you'll see how close it is to the 38. You'll see ancient rocks sticking out like behind the homes over there. Yeah. Okay, so that's another argument that Oh, by the way, so Rabbi Yosef Gavriel Bechofer, he has the famous Rishami Shir. So he says in a Shir on Megillah Beis on the Beis, yet this is huge, okay, this is huge. But he wants to say that the reason between four, this is my Chiddush Eitan, so this is why tonight's all worth it, Rabbi Bechofer's Chiddush. Between 1948 and 1967, that New Jerusalem, West Jerusalem, kept Tesvav, he wants to suggest that wasn't because of Tomach Venira issues, or because the ancient city of Jerusalem extended in all directions more than the walls we have today. Because the walls we have today were built by the Turks 450 years ago. That's it. David's Citadel, right? These walls we all see were an amazement. Right? Only 400 years old, those walls. Ancient Jerusalem extended to at least Mea Shearim. And larger in all directions. So, so
they have pieces of that ancient wall in the old city?
I don't know. I think under the Shivata Kotel, right, they have pieces of ancient wall.
Pieces of an ancient wall.
Yeah. I saw in Sfarim ancient maps, it went to Mea Shearim. I saw it. Maybe they're wrong, but I saw archaeological, whatever, findings, guesses, estimations of ancient Jerusalem extend to what we call today Mea Shearim. Whatever. Okay, Bonagida didn't. Similar Asher, similar to your thing. Bonagida didn't go to Mea Shearim. The walls we have today were put up by the Turks. Does not mean the ancient Jerusalem. Exactly, irrelevant. So the Ir Atika of Atik Atik Yomin was greater in space than what we have now. Okay, I mean that's clear. It was Mea Shearim, not Mea Shearim. It did extend greater than what we have now, and Jews lived in these extended areas between 40 and 67, and therefore Jerusalem, New Jerusalem, is inherently Tesvav. Forget some of Venera, but because you have neighborhoods built on top of territory that was once ancient Jerusalem, doesn't matter where the walls are today, they were built up on top of territory belonging to ancient Jerusalem, and therefore inherently all of Jerusalem is Tesvav, nothing to do with some of Venera. This is a big Kiddush. Okay, that's what you have in Rabbi Bechofer's Yerushalmi sphere, Beis on the base. No one brings that down. Pesach Frank, Sifat Frank, Chazon Ish, they're talking about Yerushalayim. No one brings this down. They say because of Tomach Venira, even those 19 years, it kept Tesvav. Okay, point number 9. Okay, this is arguable. It's sneer. It's not a bulletproof one. But Tchum. The laws of Tchumen say that anything within 70 amot of another area is an extension of that area. So Bonagid, some of Venera doesn't work in Beit Shemesh. Bonagid, modern day Beit Shemesh, does not build up an ancient territory of it. But the first neighborhoods of Nofei Aviv are within the Tchum of 70 amos of what is revealed of ancient Beit Shemesh. So go knock this one, but you have to deal with Tchum, you have to deal with the Tchum. Because modern David Shemesh is clear within the Tchum of what was revealed already. I want to say earlier that we're actually built on top of the ancient sites.
And you're probably once Nofei Aviv is included, then there's...
Exactly.
So in that domino effect...
Exactly. Perfect. Exactly.
The relevant number is 70, not the 2,000. You say the Tchum.
The Tchum is 70 amos. Yes. Okay, walking on Shabbos...
That's a different
thing. Right. But on Shabbos, every 70 amos... combines to the previous 70 amos. So you can walk to the entire New York City, right? From Brooklyn to bottom of the top of Manhattan. It's continuity. Everything's connected to the next. But you guess you can't cross a bridge into New Jersey because you'll be out of the Tchum in moments. Okay? So someone said because of Tchum, Beit Shemesh should be have a Tesvav Din. Okay? And by the way, there is a project out on paper already to build houses right up to the 38 highway. It's a new, lucrative, top-notch project that they're building, extending Nofei Aviv to some kind of Lemkin-orchestrated project, as you call the Lemkins, if you want to buy this new property. It's going to be beautiful homes, five-star. It's going to extend right to the 38, which is clearly on top of ancient Beit Shemesh territory. Bye-bye. You serious? Yeah? That's cool.
You want more houses to
be. Oh, you can live in Beit Shemesh.
So for sure you're living in Beit Shemesh. Because the IAA, Israel Archaeological Association, already revealed it for us by the 38. You don't need any of our homework.
And two lanes, I heard also.
Two lanes.
No, they never said two lanes.
Wow.
I don't know what's left.
Okay, running out of time, gotta move right along. A big one is the Eru. Point number 10, the next page, is the Eru. Okay, the Eru, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, holds very, very strongly that any area that shares an Eruv with an ancient tel site becomes one site. The Eruv is a wall. We can carry on Shabbos in a Tzuras HaPesach Eruv, because we believe that Tzuras HaPesach appears like a house, and the Tzuras HaPesach encloses the entire area into one big house. So if Shlomo Zalman holds that if an Eruv and a neighborhood share, a tel, and a modern-day neighborhood share an Eruv, that Eruv locks it in. The modern neighborhood is locked into the tel by virtue of the Eruv. That's why Shlomo Zalman, when he was in the hospital on Purim, it's a very famous story, it's all over the place. When Shlomo Zalman was in the hospital in Ein Karim, long before Ein Karim had residential continuity with the rest of Jerusalem, long before, Shlomo Zalman kept 2 days Purim in Ein Karim because of the Eruv. Yes, Ein Karim was in the city of Jerusalem, Eruv, even before there was residential continuity. What? Yeah, politics. I don't know. It's clearly kept 2 days. It's interesting. You bring up a good point. What did he even carry? Well, the Chumrah. He's in the Eruv Chumrah. Everyone could use an Eruv Chumrah. So sometimes the Chumrah is like real Chumrah. Sometimes the Eruv is a Kula.
Which day was
the Chumrah? What? So maybe Shlomo wouldn't carry in a Tzuras HaPesach Eruv.
Which day was the Chumrah?
Yudal was the Iker. And Tesvav was a Chumrah. I saw that somewhere. So it still really was Yudalad, but the Eruv had a power to extend the Tesvav observance. But it wasn't Iker Hadin, the Iker Purim was Yudalad even in that case. Okay. Ramat Beit Shemesh. Point number 11. We live on top of Tel Yarmut. Tel Yarmut is one of the largest archaeological excavations in the state of Israel history. The largest. Yarmut is mentioned in the Sefer Yoshua as one of the largest kingdoms. Okay? There is no doubt whatsoever from archaeological perspective, from a historical perspective, biblical perspective, that Yarmut had a wall around it. Nothing to talk about. It had a wall around it. Why? What is it? Okay, it's a legitimate point. Okay, so Sefer Yeshua talks about the city of Yarmut. It was a kingdom. Melech Yarmut, Melech Yerushalayim, Melech Hebron, that's how the pasuk goes. Yeshua, Perakud Beis. Okay, we talk about the king of Yarmut. So there's a tradition, I forget where now, that every kingdom in Tanakh had a wall. I forget where it says this. No, not from kingdom. I brought them from Yerushalmi that every city the Yeshua counted as part of a border of Eretz Yisrael had a wall. I'm saying Binosaf, they have a tradition that every kingdom had a wall around it. That's how kings ruled. They ruled within the walls of their city. They were protected by their walls that kept them alive. Okay? And there were also walls found in the Yarmut site. So Ramat Beit Shemesh has a double kalach because we're on top of Yarmut. Okay? Bonagi, we're not on top. We're somewhere near it to Yarmut. Everybody want to look at it. Okay, we're not in the area with Yarmut. We're only in the area with Beit Shemesh. But Yarmut is somewhere near it to
Yarmut.
Yeah. Yeah. But if you want to access the remains of Yarmut, you go down the Tse'elim towards the 38. Okay, you go down, if you're leaving Ramat Beit Shemesh towards the 38. On your left side, near the end, you're going to see two benches. Two benches. On the side of the road, on the other side of the road. And a very steep hill behind those benches. You go up there, turn left, and you'll see Yarmut. Now, I was up there 3 years ago, and it was very beautiful. It was very nice. It was what to see. Last summer I went up, and they took a lot of it out. Yeah, they're covering it over at Kedei Kach. Yeah, like, yeah. So I already noticed it's the two. Yeah? Because 3 years ago, there were signs. There were signs. This is the residential area here, and here was the marketplace, and there were signs once upon a time. Last summer, the signs were gone, and most of it didn't look nice. It wasn't an attractive site. It's a great exercise, a jog Friday afternoon before Shabbos, so I go up to Yarmut. Okay, walk around, you'll like it. It's nice. Okay. But now listen to this. I want to go to my opponents again. Some want to say, according to the approach that if nobody lives in the ancient Tel area, there's no power of Sumah Fanira. However, who says that Yarmut and Beit Shemesh today are abandoned and nobody lives there? Yarmut and Beit Shemesh are designated as national parks. These areas are within the municipal boundaries of the city of Beit Shemesh. So I want to say that Yarmut and Beit Shemesh is settled today. It appears abandoned because the state of Israel, the city of Beit Shemesh, choose not to build residences upon these areas. And Ellie, if you're right, maybe one day they will build residences. They're plowing it over in height. Maybe they will build residences. Maybe Gimel on top of residences is a residence on top of Yarmut. Okay? But I want to say that no longer does Tel Beit Shemesh and Tel Yamun have a din of Charuv. It's built up. It's a national park. You can go visit anytime you want. You can go sleep there tonight. Not an abandoned, rejected area. It's a maintained area. It might have a din of a built up, you know, kept city. No longer is it destroyed and in ruins. No, it's part of our city. We do this garbage collection there, and then there's the security there, and then there's the Eruva there. I mean, it's part of... We just choose not to go live there. We choose not to camp out there. The city chooses not to build there. But it's an accessible, clearly accessible area of our city. Perhaps it's not abandoned anymore. Perhaps there's a din settled. Okay? So that's it on Yarmut. Point number 14, as I mentioned, in Minhag Eretz Yisrael brings a minhag that any city that is mentioned in Tanakh, you keep 2 days. Any city mentioned in Tanakh, at least until Sefer Yeshua, was to keep 2 days, and indeed that was the minhag in early Eretz Yisrael, early settlement of modern-day Israel. They would keep 2 days in all the biblical cities and their modern-day neighborhoods.
You didn't say any the name of the city is in Tanakh, it's of Yeshua, then it is Israel's mold?
My Sefer Yeshua point is any city where Yeshua uses it as the borders of Eretz Yisrael,
right,
those cities. Not every city in Yeshua,
right,
but in those Prakim, we're talking about the borders. And in our case, we have Beit Shemesh, Tzora, Eshta'ol, Tzuba, and Kisalon in the immediate area. And these were all walled cities. Right? Tzora is Samofanira, right? Eshta'ol.
Beit Shemesh was
the border of Eretz Yisrael? Was in Eretz Yisrael, yeah. The Machlekes was Shemesh, Dana, Sheva, Yehuda. There's a machlokes.
Border between Shvatim or a border of the country?
No, it was a border between Shvatim. Yeah, well, we weren't by the edge of Plishtim yet. No. Okay, that's a minhag Eretz Yisrael by Rabbi Gallus and Perek Lamed Hei. Okay, that he says in all the ancient cities where the biblical name was similar to the modern name, they kept 2 days. So what I want to say is that this is not a radical innovation, but this is keeping the original minhag of reading 2 days in any city which has the same name. Okay, point number 15 I want to move a little quickly is that wherever you have a doubt, you keep 2 days. And a lot of rabbis support this. Rabbi Avadi Yosef holds in any place where the Suffolk keep 2 days. Rabbi Mordechai Eliyahu, Rabbi Avram Shapiro, Rabbi Moshe Sternbach are the ones I saw in writing who say any Suffolk of Yudalid or Teslav, whatever the Suffolk might be, it should Tavo Alechem Bracha. Okay, I took my paper to Rabbi Ephraim Greenblatt. I took my paper to Rabbi Yehuda Henkin. I took my paper to Rabbi Sharia Dabutsky. And Rabbi Greenblatt and Rabbi Henkin say that whoever the Baal Nefesh, it's a worthwhile thing to be machman. That's what they both told me. That's a worthwhile thing for Baal Nefesh to do is keep Teslav in Beit Shemesh. Rav Dabritsky told me that Mikir Adin, he holds that you really should keep 2 days in Beit Shemesh, but he has a whole unique approach as to why not. His own approach. He told me that if he was in Beit Shemesh, he wouldn't keep 2 days, but he says, Mikir Adin, you can't run away from it. There's a real Indian to keep 2 days in Beit Shemesh. Those were his words. I have it all in writing. Okay, point number 16 is a very weak case. In fact, I'm going to bypass it now because we don't have much time. But if you want to look it up, Mishtatef Imo Binyanov, the Talmudic principle, the Ritva talks about it most. Basically, if you're so involved in the walled city, you have a din of a walled city. So I want to say, actually, about my Chiddush. This Chiddush is Rabbi Hager, Rabbi Yitzhak Meir Hager in Betz, the Rabbi Chanicha Yeshiva Shul, the big proponent of 2 days Purim in Beit Shemesh. This was his Chiddush. I don't agree with it personally. But he wants to say that because we're so dependent on the city of Jerusalem, many of us work there, we go there for our hospitals, essential services, so there's a concept, Mishtatef Imo Binyanov, when you're so dependent on a walled city, you have a din of walled city for that purpose, for that alone. That's his Chiddush. Well, what? Okay, so I don't like it. Moving right along, 17. Point number 17 is very interesting. The Benagid, there's people here say, you know what? You know, this makes a lot of sense. Maybe we should consider Tesvav. But you know what? I can't get another Megillah reading together. I can't. I gotta get to work. I'm too drunk the night before. I can't get another Megillah reading. So, Me'ikar Adin, listen to this. This is a big, it's not about a Chiddush, but it's not well known. That even a Tesvav city, Jerusalem, is Yotzi B'di'evid, the mitzvah of Megillah on Yudalit. B'di'evid, any Tesvavnik who hears the Megillah night and day of Yudalit is Yotzi the mitzvah of Megillah. He just has to do Mishloch Manos, Matanos of Yonim on Tesvav, because those cannot be done earlier.
Only if he heard it in Yerushalayim, or doesn't matter where he heard it.
It's a good kasha. I don't know.
Yerushalmi goes to Bnei Brak, and here's Gila.
Good kasha. Good kasha. I think I have this in my notes right over here, actually.
To here, in terms of here, you would have a problem.
I got it. I'll tell you where that answer will be. The answer, I have Yerushalmi, Megillah, Bet, Halacha Gimel. That's Bet, Halacha Gimel. Okay? So it says over there, this is what I translated, I quoted. Those who read or heard the Megillah on the 14th of Adar in a place which was truly meant to be on the 15th will have discharged the obligation to read the Megillah of B'dievet. The remaining mitzvah of Purim, however, must be done on Tesvav.
So it wouldn't work if you heard it in Bnei Brak.
It's not clear. That's not clear. That's not clear.
You said in a place that's supposed to hear it on Tesvav.
A Ben Tesvav who heard it on Yudalid is Yotzei B'dievet the mitzvah of the Megillah. But it's not clear from what my notes at least. Does it have to be in the city of the Tesvav, or could it even be in a Yudal city? That I'm not clear on. Okay, that's not clear. But what is clear is that a Tesvavnik who hears the Megillah on Yudal, let's go to Chumrah, a Tesvavnik who hears it in the Tesvav city on Yudal is Yotzi the mitzvah of Kriyas Megillah, but he's not Yotzi the other mitzvahs of Purim. Which means, so let's say a guy in Bechamar says, oh, you know what, maybe it's Kedai. By the time you do Megillah again. Doesn't matter, so don't lose out. You're not losing out. Even if you don't read the Megillah on Tesvav, you still do the other mitzvahs of Purim and Tesvav, you're still fulfilled Purim and Tesvav, because again, you're Yotzi B'dieved if you hear the Megillah on Yudalit. Even a Tesvavnik, like us, right? Beit Shemesh Tesvavnik. If you're a Tesvavnik, you hear the Megillah on Yudalit, you're Yotzi the mitzvah Megillah, B'dieved, of course, the Chatzkila, you should read it again in Tesvav. But even a Tesvavnik, a pure Tesvavnik, who heard the Megillah on Yudalit, is Yotzi the mitzvah Megillah, he need only, you know, can't do otherwise, he need only do the remaining mitzvah Suda, Shalach Manus, Amatanus of Yonim, and he is Yotzi Purim. Okay, closing, we'll have to close up. By the way, there's a Suffolk in Tyre, Damascus, Baghdad, and Prague, and Jewish communities throughout history have kept 2 days in those cities. Okay, Tyre is Lebanon, Damascus, Baghdad, and Prague. Wait, what? Posters, yeah.
No, it's
evidence
of
the
existence of
Yeshua.
No.
Yeah. Egypt. I don't know of Egypt. This is what I found. I'm showing you my findings. Maybe.
Syria now. Are there any Jews left in Syria now?
Yeah. Yeah. And Damascus also has a butcher or something. Yeah. Okay. One thing nobody asked, which I was waiting for, there's a couple of good fights I was waiting for, but nobody came up with it. What is going to do? How can we come and make a minion in Ramat Beit Shemesh? Actually, even in our, you know, it's what it's going to do. The Vel says Yudal, and that's it. So the answer is, you have the Gemara Megillah, the Bavli, even Tiberia, there were those keeping Yudalid, those keeping Tesvav, and those keeping both. There's no what it's going to do. By Kriyas Megillah, by keeping Purim, there's no din what it's going to do. Okay, and Ein Zman Harich Bazeh, but that is a Kitzer. For more on this, you have the Rabbi on Gilo, Rabbi Schlesinger, has a Sefer Sholim B'Dorshin. And over there, he talks about why there's no Lotis Go to do by Purim. Okay, based on the Gemara Megillah, like I mentioned, but really, so even in our day and age, if a minion gets together and has a Kriyas Megillah on Tesvav and Ramat Beit Shemesh, there's no Shchashash Lotis Go to do for this purpose, for Purim. Okay? One final note, there's a few other things, and I'll be my pleasure to mail my paper to anybody who doesn't need Geniza. You can throw it out, take it home, throw it out when you're finished. Last point I want to bring up. I think if Beit Shemesh would have been founded by Talmidei Chachamim, everyone would be keeping Tesvav and Sofer. Okay? I went over here, Piskei Tshuvas, right? That's Piskei Tshuvas, any city that has Sofer. Of Sofer for Nira. To keep 2 days. That's Piskei Tshuvas. Yep. Thank you for listening. Thank you for coming. Feel free to email me for more information. I'm sorry, Kitzer Nimrats, but I'll email any more information to anybody who wants.